Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Well, I'm discombobulated, Judith. I haven't got time for that. I haven't got time for
you. Never have.
I'm discombobulated because we are recording this on a Wednesday morning.
It's very confusing.
We have got into the habit of Thursday recording.
We have. We were into that groove and now we're thrown.
Yes, because tomorrow morning I'm not available because I'll be on a train coming back from Portsmouth.
Oh, yeah. I mean, can't keep track of you, Jenny.
No, well, this isn't part of my tour tonight.
I know.
I'm going to be on stage. Not that anybody knows, because I'm not billed. I don't know quite what's going on. It's Miriam Margolyes' book tour. She has different, presenters and interviewers on every night. So I suppose it's too much to put them all, to bill them all. So nobody's billed. And you just think, oh, God, I'm doing Portsmouth. It's a big room, you know, it's 2,500 seats.
Bloody
and
hell.
It's full. And, what if, half of them hate my guts? And when I come on stage, they go, oh, there might be an audible groan, Judith. You know, like when you're in the theatre and they announce that the understudy is taking over the lead role for this afternoon or this evening. Yeah. And the audience goes, oh. really rude. Anyway, don't do that tonight.
That's a good wheeze, isn't it? So she's selling tickets to the show for people to come along to hear about her new book, and then they'll buy the book. That's very clever.
Well, that's what book tours are all about, Judith. They're big news now. They're big news.
I hadn't really thought that through.
Yes. Quite a lot of pre-release out on one. They're all done by a production. Most of them are done by a production company called Fane, F-A-N-E. Oh. Richie Grant, and they send them abroad. They do all sorts of things.
Yeah, do they now?
I've done a little bit of research.
Oh,
anyway.
You'll be doing that next, I tell you. Can I interview you?
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
That would be a good
whatever,
idea.
Whatever, yeah. I can hear that in your voice.
Obviously, you wouldn't stay in the same hotel as me.
I might be in the same room.
You can't share my bathroom. You'd be down the corridor. I'd put you in a little room down the corridor. And halfway through, I'd say, sorry, who are you again? What did you say your name was? No, I wouldn't do that at all. It's a very good idea. Okay, I'm laying out my start with a catch-up from last week, and I know people were probably on tenterhooks about this, but the toast red gingham trousers, Judith.
Well, you were awaiting.
Yeah.
You were excited.
Yeah.
But trepidatious. Like that
I was
word.
Trepidatious.
You
with,
were.
With
you
reason. Were. With reason.
Oh, right.
Oh,
go
Judith,
on. Go
I've
on.
Never, I've never seen myself look quite so shit in anything. I mean, they were like the most badly cut pair of pyjamas for a massive giant, right? I got the large because I am on the large side.
Well, I'm
and
pleased
I couldn't
to
give
hear
a shit
that.
About that. Yeah, well, don't, it's nothing to do with you.
Well, it is actually. For years you've been saying that you're a size 12 or 14.
Well, that's
so
piss
yes.
you off. I'm a 14 on the top half, definitely. And I am a 16 half.
A generous 16.
Not generous. Not particularly, actually, because I've just got it. There are two things I'm in the quandary over. The red gingham trousers have gone back. They were a large, a toast large, which is a large, I feel.
Flappy.
I mean,
clown-like. I mean, to be honest, they were shaping up in my mind as fairly clown-like as it was.
Either
that or a sous chef. Do you know what I mean?
Worse, depending
on the size of the tartan squares.
I'd have needed to have been 6'4" to have carried them off. 6'4" minimum. Wearing a heel. So 6'6". And then I bought a size 16 because that was the only size left, denim jumpsuit in John Lewis. And I felt like, I looked at it, I thought, oh, that's nice. And it said the only size left was 16. I thought, well, that's got to be calling.
It's meant for you.
It's meant for
you.
It's one, one left. Yes. That's mine.
Oh.
And again, there's a lot of fabric, mostly not around the arse or the gut. But, oh, God, they're going to have to take 6 inches off the bottom.
Is it puckering? There's just around the legs.
No, the legs. Just so, yeah. I'm so short.
Yes, you're a bit of a short ass.
Short ass. So they will have to be turned up. But Jeff says they're good on me. They're good on me.
Oh, and does he?
He just posted a picture of a very nice jumper that I bought in a local shop in East Dulwich. And if anyone is near me, I'm just going to big up this shop. It's called Through the Trees in East Dulwich.
Strange name for a clothes shop, if you don't mind me saying.
Well, he said that his previous shop had trees in the front, and he said the name just stuck.
Right.
I think, you know, he was on a sort of wooded boulevard once upon a time. And it's not anymore, because he's down East Dulwich.
He's on a bus route. Right.
He's on a very useful bus route.
yes, I saw that. Very nice. A bit chunky for me. But,
oh, no, but light as a feather, because it's not real wool. I mean, that's why it's only 60 quid, because you know me, Judith, I can't wear heavy because I get a bit claustrophobic and I can't do itchy.
Like, no. I know what you like with polar necks. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, I can't do a polar neck.
Now, okay. I want to go back, if I may, to the denim jumpsuit.
Yes. I think it might. I don't know whether to give it to you.
Oh, that came out of the blue.
I think you would wear it better than me.
Yes, because I'm taller.
Because you're taller.
Right, okay. But
I'm not sure whether I want to do that.
It's probably quite expensive. You need to send it back.
Because it's good on me, but I think it would be better on you.
Well, okay. Well, very nice. Thank you very much. No, I haven't taken up, for God's sake. Now, what I want to interrogate just slightly here is the fact that, because I do happen to know that Jeff likes Fake or Fortune, does he not?
Ooh.
You seem to remember he's a bit of a binge watcher.
Yeah,
of that.
We watched the one last night, the gawky one.
The gawky. Oh, right. Okay. I thought you were talking about Fiona Booth being gawky. What? My question really is that is surrounding Fiona Bruce's outfit in, I think, quite a few of this series, because she is wearing a denim jumpsuit in probably a petite or a size 8, I should think, skinny, witty, witty, witty. And she wears it all the time, doesn't she? So do you think that Jeff might have seen it on Fiona and thought that, you know, you look
Jeff
a bit
doesn't
like
fancy
her.
Fiona. I don't care how slim she is. Well done, you. It's fine. People come in all shapes and sizes, and genuinely, you know, I couldn't give a shit.
Yeah.
But what I do mind, and I think you've picked up on it as well in that programme, is that there's quite a lot of credit taking on the research.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. She's there in the library. Don't you see her walking up to the library?
There's a lot of library walking shots.
Oh, yes. You know, looking through the books. You've not done that for you.
This is sort of absolute painstaking research done by a team of little people that nobody ever sees.
Exactly.
And I do, that is the, because we do enjoy Fake or Fortune, which if those, anybody who doesn't know what it is, they track down the provenance. The word provenance gets used.
Oh, it does. And it's a nice word, isn't it?
Yeah.
A bit like Provence, but not quite.
So they find a painting and then they try and find out whether it is really by such and such artist.
Oh, it's fascinating. It's a great format. Yeah, I love it.
It is good, but there is it's that kind of thing where you just know that there's a great lot, there's a production team who are behind this, and it isn't Fiona or Philip, you know, crawling around on their hands and knees
in the stack, in the London Library stack. No, and it somehow, I'll tell you what it reminds me of. It reminds me of television sort of 20, 30 years ago, when kind of we weren't clever as an audience and we would sort of believe that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think you know, I feel like saying to them, look, you know, just come clean.
Is clipped. The audience knows. The audience knows. The audience
not stupid.
I mean, you are absolutely right. Many years ago, we tried to do sketch shows and comedy about the business, and people said, genuinely, I remember somebody saying in a meeting room, the general public know nothing about television, about backstage. They don't know what extras are. They don't know this. It was a long time ago, Judith. We're probably talking 30 years. And then, of course, you know, 20 years after that, Extras comes out. You go, yeah, everybody does know. Everybody knows. Everybody always knew.
I know.
Underestimated. Audiences are still slightly underestimated.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, I know. Infuriating.
Where are you, Judith? Where are you? You sound good.
Thank you. I'm in Cornwall. And before you say, oh, you're off on another holiday. Oh, sorry, I just burped there. Before you say...
Oh, that'll be that fucking massive breakfast you put on the Instagram this morning. I looked at that. I thought, I know where she's been.
The canteen. Didn't eat the bread, but everything else. Yes, I'm in Cornwall. And before you start going on at me again about being away, it's sort of an oven cleaning kind of admin. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those, you know, and the weather's absolutely terrible. But anyway, I've got two friends with me, right?
Oh, gosh, that's a threesome. Is that working? Or have two of you ganged up against one of you?
No, we're all right. All right. So
well, you're very fortunate, Judith. I haven't got two mates. I haven't got two mates and me that I think I could put in a flat together. I'm not sure.
Could you not? Well, you haven't got many mates, have you, really?
I haven't got any mates. No, I've got you. I've got you. I've got my sister. I've got a handful of others. I've got a few. Oh, I had a mate round yesterday. I'll tell you about that later on.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think I know
who you mean. Okay, there are three of you in the flat.
Yes.
And are they all helping with the oven cleaning, or are they all mucking in?
No,
or?
I'm sort of peeling off and doing that, and they're big walkers though.
Jenny. Oh shit!
They're big walkers. Yeah. Took an 8-mile, made me do an 8-mile walk yesterday.
Oh Christ! How do you know if you're not going with them though? How do you know they're not just going to the car?
Oh well, yesterday I did. I felt I should yesterday. Today's definitely admin and oven cleaning.
Yeah.
And the weather's really, really shit. But yeah.
Feet up on the sofa. Have they popped out? Have they popped out for a walk now?
Yeah. They've gone out for a very windy walk. But they're very clever, you know. They're very, very able, capable women. But there has been a large amount of disappointment for them for this holiday, and for me actually, because it was billed by me as a late sort of season wild swim. Swimming break, because they're both big wild swimmers, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So on the
first but the weather's changed so much, Judith, in the past week.
Yes, could bear that. That is not the problem. You never guess what the problem is. So first morning, I mean, they're both called Jane, it's very confusing. One came in the car, a lot of equipment, webs, swimming gloves, flippers, all this stuff had been brought down on the train from Northumberland. You know, they both arrived with all this kit. Anyway, we get down to the water near here with all our stuff. We all start getting ready to go in, all very excited, gorgeous, gorgeous. This woman comes along, she said, have you heard about the Portuguese men of war?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I know that will trigger you.
Yeah.
Because you don't like jellyfish.
I really hate jellyfish. I really, really hate them.
These are something else.
These are the worst. Are some of the worst
far,
Portuguese.
By far. Yeah. And not only are they generally around in Cornwall, that you might have thought, oh, well, okay, not unlikely to be in this bit that we're swimming in now. She said, no, look at my phone. Look where we found that one sort of yesterday. And there.
Infestation. Yes, where were you?
Arriving.
Were you just underneath the flat? Were you on your own little cove?
Yeah, but they have found them there as well, and apparently they're all up the coast. I think I might have risked it, but Jane D, who's a retired GP, said, well, honestly, I mean, we'll end up in A&E. Apparently they've got tendrils between 10 and 20 metres long. They can sting you when they're dead. They can sting
I've heard that.
Oh, yep. Terrible. She said she's had to deal with people with it, and it is terrible. It could bring on cardiac arrest.
So
we were like this great big full stop. We scampered down with enthusiasm.
And they've come all that way, because Northumberland down to Cornwall is...
It's a long way. So, and then I think if you'd taken a film of us going back to the flat, it would be like, oh, dear. Sluggish.
Slumped-shouldered.
No.
Dejected.
Yes, dejected, disappointed. And we both
And had you already had your breakfast? Had you already had your breakfast?
Well, no, because you don't do that before you go swimming.
Oh, well, that's at least you've got something to look forward to.
True.
At least you could go back and say, all right, let's pig out now, because, you know, we've had our treat snatched away. Right. My sister got stung by a jellyfish. I'm not sure where, because I still haven't seen her. She's being very evasive at the moment. I'm going to track her down. But she got stung on her last swimming holiday, and she said one of the women got very badly stung on the face.
Ooh,
and she said jellyfish were a real problem on that holiday.
I think the trouble is it's all getting warmer, isn't it? You know, so they're kind of drifting.
Yeah, well, Phoebe got stung in Shoreham.
Did she?
Yeah, a couple of years ago. And, of course, because it's Phoebe, had a massive... allergic reaction some days later and ended up in hospital.
Oh, God. Yes. I remember. That's
yes.
Bloody hell. This is not doing your phobia about jellyfish any good at all, is
it? I mean,
it?
You know, I my phobia goes back to seeing a dead one on a beach in Lytham St Anne's and some other children poking it with a stick. And I just, you know me, when I have a slight sickness about something, I imagine it in my mouth and I just got this... Ooh. Sensation of this jellyfish. I can bring it up now and I could literally throw up. So I had to be very careful. And I've told you that Phoebe's inherited that. And when she first learnt to read and read a pub sign, it was a slug and lettuce. She threw up at this very thought of the idea of a slug in some lettuce. Yeah, she was about six or something. I don't know. Anyway, that's a shame. But I mean, you know, it must be cosy at night and, you know, there's some quite
it's
good
cozy.
Telly on at the moment.
It's cosy. But I tell you what, there was quite a big to-do yesterday in Coolsand. Quite a big to-do, Jenny. Yeah. Should see what happened. So there's the, you know, the ferry, I don't know whether, well, Jeff will have noticed it when he's been here on the balcony.
Oh, yes.
The ferry,
yes.
You know, that goes to Coolsand and back.
Yeah,
that,
we
that
couldn't
ferry.
Take it once because it was too choppy.
Too choppy. Yeah, or well, it wouldn't be going today, I tell you. But anyway, yesterday... The captain mucked it up, so he got onto the beach at Coolsand and misjudged it and ended up tilted sideways and kind of, what do you call it, not adrift. Is adrift the right word?
No, he'd have been beached like a whale.
Yeah, a wheel. beached. So all the passengers had to get off. They all had to be, you know, lifted off and everything. And they had to sort of go back a different way. Couldn't go on it. Anyway, we happened to arrive at the cafe yesterday when they were doing the rescue because the tide was coming in, right? Yeah. Now, I know this sounds a bit as if it might be a bit, but bear with. Okay, bear with. Okay. So then, all right, listen, quite
God,
a
I
crowd.
Bet that cafe was crowded
it
at
was.
This point.
It was. Oh, we wanted to look. And some people were thinking, oh, we're filming it, you know, on their phones. Nobody helping, obviously. Anyway, so the tide was coming in.
Yeah.
And a tug had been ordered for Plymouth to pull it out of the way. Right, okay. And then, the Coast Guards arrived in a sort of flashy, you know, big sort of Land Rover out. They got hard hats. And you can hear it in my voice, can't you? You know what I'm going to say about these blokes, don't you? Can you guess what I'm going to say?
Yeah, you fancied them.
Yes! Of course terrible! You did. This is a terrible
It's
feature.
Rescue men. It's rescue men.
It's
basically
men.
Anyone that can is going to take charge of a situation
exactly.
and save people and solve the problem. Oh, rescue men and women
it's
give you
exactly.
everybody the horn. Yeah.
Noticed it before in myself, but anyway, so they arrived, took charge, as you say, down they went, got out their little kind of orange dinghy and everything, and then what they did is they took a little tiny kind of looked like a piece of cotton to the tug, right? First of all, they tied it on the ferry. Was everybody? Oh, everybody was saying what they're doing. All right, okay. And they took a little thin line first out, and they tied that on the ferry. And you think, well, that's not going to be big enough. That's going to you right? See, that's not thick enough. But then what they did is they kept pulling and pulling and pulling. On they went. And it joined, this is what you do apparently, it joined onto a really thick rope that you couldn't have put on. And that, you know, threaded through. It was like a needle, the thin one, and then the great big one came. And then they just waited until, you know, the tide was right. And there was
I'm not
just
sure how
float.
Exciting. Does this get any more exciting? Has this story peaked? I think this story peaked when the men got out of their Land Rovers. I think that's when it peaked.
You're right. I got completely carried away yesterday. I got so caught up in it. And when they'd all finished, I went up and thanked them, you know, like an old lady. Thank you very
much.
And you know what thought crossed my mind? It's terrible. I thought, oh, they love it. All in their 30s. I wonder if they'd like to meet Ellen. That was my thought. It was like a Mrs. Bennet moment. To sort of.
I think that a lot of mothers in the land would sympathise with that. That's what you want. A really capable bloke that is in your family's life and could come in really useful to do things. Because you know they'd be able to do plugs as well.
Oh, plugs, yeah.
Oh, that'd be chicken feed to them. They'd be able to do all sorts of things. They'd be able to go out on the roof if needed and be trusted not to fucking fall off and spoil the evening.
No, and they were, you know, big, sporty. You know, they'd be able to pick up a small child and kind of, yeah, I know. That's the sort of man that she was.
They'd be able to pick you up. Well, they'd be able to carry you out of a burning house. That's basically what you want. And listen, I have been all over the road. Now I'm just going to sort of share with you, as you have just shared your sort of your drama story from Cornwall yesterday, that did peter out, Judith. It petered out. It did peter out because I know that there wasn't a maritime disaster because I'd have heard it on the news, to be quite honest. So I just had to stop you. Okay, right.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Okay, so here's my, this is my admission this week, that I have embarrassed both myself and my tour manager. I've got a really, really kind tour manager called Ray, who's been out on tour with me for the last couple of years.
Who you spend a lot of time with in the
car. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, it's not a relationship that's taken for granted. There's kind of rules and you know, we both obey by those rules. It's not, it's not over familiar. It isn't like that. You know, right. It's not like having you in the car. It's, you know, I have a huge respect
for him. Which you'd have to have, wouldn't you? Because it's that you're on the road together for a long time.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Absolutely. Okay.
Okay. So, right. Sorry, there's a bit of angle grinding going on in the background. I can only apologise for it, but
your
it's
mouth.
Very random. It's not on the building site next door. It's in the back alley somewhere, and it's driving me fucking mad. But anyway, so we're in a golf hotel called the Forest of Arden, Judith. Do you know it in Solihull?
Well, I know it's my neck of the woods, absolutely, literally. It's where I grew up.
It's a golf course. It's a golf course. I went in the bar on Saturday night and it was 99.9 blokes and they were watching rugby. I thought you can't have golf and rugby all in one room. It's too much. In the morning, I thought, well, I'm going to take advantage of the facilities. It was as if you were there nagging me.
Was there a pool?
And honestly, I woke up at about 7:30, 8 o'clock, and I could hear your voice going, well, there's a pool, Jenny. I don't know why you're not in the pool. Yes. I'd have been
up
in the pool at 7 o'clock. I'm up, you get, up,
six,
you
six.
Get. So I fucking dragged myself all the way around to the, you know, the sports centre bit, and I got in this pool. It was all right. It was nice. I blocked one ear up, of course, because that's inevitably what happens, and then that drove me mad for 3 fucking days. It's only just popped. And anyway, I put the, it was one of those leisure centres that has, you know, a machine that you put your costume in.
To spin it.
And then it had polythene bags. So I had a damp costume in a polythene bag.
Okay.
And then we did a gig in Lincoln. And I left in the morning. I got the train home because I wanted to be home very quickly. And I left my swimming costume in a polythene bag on the back seat of the car. I sent a message to my tour manager saying, because I've also lost my sunglasses, and he said he'd go through the car. And I said, if you're checking the car, can you, and the word was meant to be, can you salvage my swimming costume before it goes mouldy in that polythene bag?
Okay.
So sorry. Okay, thank you. Instead of saying, can you salvage my swimming costume,
right.
I wrote by mistake, if you're checking the car, can you salivate my swimming costume? I know. And then I just got back to him and said, that is the most unfortunate typo. I mean, salvage, Jesus. Honestly.
I thought you were going to say that the implication was that you'd wet, you know, that you'd had a urinary accident in something.
I don't have urinary accidents, thank you very much, Judith. I was in danger of my swimming.
Sometimes.
My swimming costume was in danger of going mouldy, and I thought, I must salvage it. Salvage. Salivate. Jesus, God. Anyway. That tour's nearly over.
Well, I should think Ray's relieved, isn't he?
Oh, God, I don't know whether he'll be able to look me in the eye for the next couple of gigs. Do you know what I mean? He'll have his eyes on the road, firmly on the road.
Firmly on the road. I had a feeling it might be something that would be misconstrued as some sort of come on. Do you know what I mean? Because that would be the ultimate boundary. That would be the no-go situation, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the absolute betrayal of everything.
Dreadful,
yeah,
dreadful.
Absolutely dreadful. I mean, you know, if that happened, he would not turn up for work. I'd get someone, you know, someone else would be there.
He'd have to make an excuse, I know.
Yeah, Ray would just say, I'm really sorry, but I've suddenly lost the use of my arms. I can't drive. Anyway, have you had any taste sensations this week, either in Cornwall or in Oxfordshire?
I had a small one, but it was not insignificant. And that was some nuts, some rosemary flavoured roasted almonds from a jar, one of those kind of nice coffee places that sells them in a jar. Absolutely fantastic. I found myself, and I'm ashamed of this journey, found myself taking a photograph of the jar. And you know what I said to the lady? I can't believe I said this. I said, could you mind if I take a photograph of this? Because I've got quite a following on Instagram. And I said that as I said it out loud. Oh, I thought, you show off cow. And anyway, you haven't got that big an Instagram following. And I can see her looking at me as if to say, yeah, right. look at you in your lag boiler coat and your stupid woolly hat.
I found myself on the phone this morning where I'm talking to a solicitor's office because, you know, it's too boring to go into. It really is Snorlaw. I'm going to... I am doing Snorlaw before I go there. But anyway, it is involved. Our solicitors have been taken over. A new solicitor's coming in, blah, 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 blah. And I was on the phone to them for too boring a reason. And I found myself saying to a woman I'd never spoken to before, she said, sorry, I didn't catch your name. I said, I am the one and the only Jenny Eclair. I said that. I said that out loud. I said it
what
out loud.
What did she say? How did you spell it? What did you say? What did she say?
No, so when you do something like that, usually people come back with, did you say Penny Sinclair? Penny Sinclair, is that what you are? But anyway, so that was your taste sensation of the week, was it? The nuts.
It was.
Well, I'm going to go for... It was Marks and Spencer's microwave meal, because as you said to me last week, it's time, you know, it's getting colder and, you know, one cannot live on sandwiches alone. And
absolutely.
I bought it was an Orzo meal. Now, Orzo, I've never bothered with it really before. You know,
is that the funny sort of pasta thing?
Yes, but pasta cut so small, it's like rice. It was Marks and Spencer's microwave meal. Pulled ham hock on orzo with cheese. I mean, we're talking fucking carb heavy. But, oh, Judith, oh, it did slip down easily. Oh, it did.
Did it crust on the top?
It did form a heavy scum because I cooked it in the microwave. You never really get a crusty.
You don't.
Do you,
would have been better in the oven, wouldn't it? But
I think it is designed for a microwavable meal, though. And I'm very grateful to see it in the range. And I'll tell you another taste sensation. Again, it was a Marks and Spencer's. It was an emergency sandwich. I like to have a spare emergency sandwich in my tote bag, in my big, in the big yellow sack that I carry everywhere. It was celery and cheese.
Oh,
Judith.
That's really exciting, that concept.
I'd left it overnight. Let me just give you the detail. I'd left it overnight, not in a fridge, just in my bag. And I checked the sell-by date and it was sort of saying that day. And I thought, well, I'll get it down, mate. I hadn't had breakfast in the hotel. And, do you know, I think it had acquired something from being left overnight. There was a sogginess about it, a sort of... The sandwich was drenched in its own filling.
Is it sweated?
It had sweated, yeah. Very...
I think, Do you know, I think tomato sandwiches do that, funnily enough.
Yeah, have you ever, if only I could. Tomato and cheese. Oh, my mother used to do that. She used to chop up tomatoes, grate cheese in, a bit of onion maybe as well. And that was often on the tea trolley on a Sunday evening.
Oh, did you have a tea trolley on a Sunday evening? Yeah. Did you? In front of, don't tell me what it's called, the church service. What did you,
oh God,
what were
we
you
never
watching?
Nobody ever watched the church service.
Oh, didn't you?
What,
Songs of Praise.
Jesus,
I wonder
God,
what you were watching.
No, I don't know what we, I mean, I do remember sort of watching, having tea in front of the telly and watching Black Beauty, but I don't know whether that was on a Sunday. Yes, see, what would happen is that my mother would make a roast often on a Sunday, and every other weekend she had a nana for Sunday lunch. And by Sunday evening, my mother would be saying, I'm not fucking doing anything. She wouldn't say fucking. She'd say, I'm not bloody well doing anything. She'd say things like, I'm not bloody well, and that's swearing. I'm not bloody well doing anything, and that's swearing. Yeah, we know. And so she would bang this tea trolley through in a quite bad-tempered way from the back of the house through to the front of the house. Yeah.
I can picture that. Yeah, here you are.
Here you are. And then it would be my sister and I had to bang it back to the back of the house and do the dishes.
I think they're quite useful things, really, tea trolley. I mean, not that I've got one, but I can see why they were, you know.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that was a big house. And if you had to, you know, getting from the back to the front
to the
with
front,
a load of
very
stuff.
Sensible.
Yeah,
did you ever
absolutely.
Have a hatch? Did you ever have a house with a hatch from the kitchen to the dining room?
I think we might have done in Berlin long time ago, but no.
The things hatches.
No, the hatch is a lovely thing as well. It's such a lovely surprise, isn't it? When you open the door, hello, yoo-hoo! They so belong to sort of 60s and 70s sitcoms, don't they, the hatch?
Oh, so much, because they would lend themselves.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't they?
Yeah, you catch sight of people doing things through the hatch.
Exactly.
Huh? Anyway. Listen, you're not the only one that's had friends this week. I know you've got the two Janes. I had Josie Lawrence come and visit me yesterday.
Oh, the Josie, the one and only Josie Lawrence.
Who is absolutely allowed to say, I am the one and only. Oh, she's lovely. She's really lovely. She's got a friend who's temporarily living across the road, and she thought she'd kill two birds with one stone. And she was so well mannered, and because I said, Josie, I'll have the grandson with me, and she arrived with a little stuffed monkey for Arlo. So much showing off for her. He kind of showed her all his tricks. He wouldn't go have his nap. He wouldn't do anything. Showed her all his tricks, and then we took him out for a walk, and as soon as the fresh air hit him, he was conked out, which was a relief.
Of course he was. Yeah. Of course he was. Yeah, well, how nice. So did you serve her a piece of cake? Did you serve her a piece of cake?
I did panic about that because, you know, I mean, I don't buy biscuits. I don't think about them. And I said, oh, I've got some ginger biscuits for toddlers. And Phoebe said, because Phoebe's there, she said, no, you haven't, because I took them back to my house because I didn't have any for Arlo. And as she said, I forgot. But I found some cucina or something from when we were in Italy. That was quite a few months ago, but I hadn't opened them. They were sort of like biscotti type things.
Oh, the ones that break your teeth.
No, they're softer than that. They're shaped like a dog poo. They're like a round thing. They're really, really nice.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Yes,
I know what you mean.
Yeah,
still quite hard on the teeth, but
still quite hard. But you know, she's got good teeth, Josie.
Has she? Yeah. Very nice. Your showbiz friends.
Have you missed the twins? You must have missed the twins.
Yes, I have been, not really.
You're not,
actually.
Sorry, Judith, just stop right now. There was no conviction in that voice. Because you've obviously got out of the Monday and the Wednesday.
I have.
Has Mike really done the whole thing? Has Mike doing...
No, the in-laws are there as well, so he's got some power. I don't think he could do the whole thing, actually.
I don't know. I know Jeff couldn't. And Arlo's still not walking, so he can't run away from him, but he still wouldn't be able to nappy wrangle him. You know, the nappy wrangle.
I do.
Yeah, almost hold their hands above their head and sort of threaten them with violence.
I've got something I need to ask you, Jenny. Right.
Oh, God.
Okay. So Ellen has these vouchers, right, for the Zip World ride, which is called Velocity.
Right.
Happen to know that you've done this because you did it on the television.
I went on the highest one in Europe. The highest, longest zip wire in Europe. I think you're just doing a baby one. I'm just
it's the same
velocity.
One. Is it over a quarry in Wales?
Yeah, that's the one. There's two heights.
Oh, you've always got to go one better.
Yeah, of course I have. But, I mean, I think, I don't know if it's up to you or what the ticket's bought, but, I mean, there's a baby slope one, which is kind of, you know, for 10-year-olds.
Oh, that's big.
And then there's one where you have to go up the quarry in, like, you know, jeeps. Oh, and and there's silence in the jeeps on the way up because everyone's really nervous.
I bet there is. I'd be a bit worried about catching, you know, stopping the other end. That's what I'd be worried about.
Oh, they kind of catch you. They're really used to it.
That sounds a bit vague. What do you mean they kind of catch you?
They vaguely catch you. They wait for you to come to a juddering stop and then they clutch your legs.
Oh, my God. I don't know whether I can do it. I'm getting a little bit hot and sweaty thinking about it.
Oh, no, it's there is a moment where, because you have to lie on your stomach with your hands behind your back.
Behind your back?
Yeah.
So you don't feel that you can stop the, you know, break your fall? Your back? You're like a bullet. Bullet.
Yeah.
Oh, Jenny.
I think that it's good. I think that when I'd done it, I wanted to go straight back and do it again.
Gosh.
It does give you a high, I promise you. I do promise you. They know what they're doing as well. It's really well run. And that is a good cafe, Judith.
Good cafe at the end.
Yeah, I mean, you might have a get-out clause as well, because it does depend on the weather. And if it's really foggy and misty...
Oh.
I'm not sure whether they do it.
I could just sit in the cafe.
I'm not sure or whether that was because we were filming it. We couldn't do it because you couldn't see it.
Bit. You'd go into the cloud.
But no, I think you'd disappoint yourself if you didn't do it.
I know. I think I'm going to have to do it. Okay.
But it's a long way away from where you live.
Well, it is. It's a long way from everywhere, I think. And that's the trouble, you see, because I might get 3.5 hours in the car. It's no good me getting there and saying, I don't think I can do it anymore. Got to do it. So... Yeah. Well, it's like you had to do it because you're being filmed. You can't go.
Yeah. I mean, but that helps me because there's a bit of me that going, you're getting paid for this. You're getting filmed.
Because they're
getting filmed, they won't want this to be a disaster on air. They've probably done their safety checks.
Yes.
I always feel a bit safer doing dangerous things.
Double check.
Yeah. Because it's not good PR, is it? If, you know,
somebody goes splat.
Absolutely. Right then, Culture Corner, because I've got to go off and interview Miriam tonight.
You have. Okay, so what have you been watching? You start.
Okay, well, on your recommendation, well, not recommendation, I dipped into the Savile thing. I've only watched, I think, 1.5 episodes, but it's great, but it's awful, but Coogan is extraordinary.
He's absolutely exceptional, isn't he? I mean, just exceptional. But you know what occurred to me? I just thought... If you were to say, this is a guy, wasn't even that talented, was he? I mean, don't know what his talent was, or, you know. And this is what he did. This is what, you know, and he was knighted. And it would be ridiculous. That could never happen. It's just ridiculous.
It was all the charity work, Judith, wasn't it? It was all that, you know, his alibi. His sort of his other full time job, apart from being a pervert, was, you know, running, doing those marathons and raising huge amounts of money. You know, giving himself this kind of credence,
a sort of curtain behind which he could just hide. It is, it's very dark. Oh, it's dark, but it's beautiful. It is beautifully done and carefully done. And I finished it. I mean, but it is pretty dark.
They mucked about with the schedules last night, Judith.
Why?
Bake Off wasn't on because the fucking football was on. And I just, you know, I pulled a face and make a song and dance. And then Jeff and I continued to watch the Beckham documentary, which is basically about football. Well, it isn't. It's about him and his relationships and all this kind of thing. And it's really classy. It's really good.
Yeah,
have you seen any of it?
No, I haven't. I can't get... the Netflix thing is playing up here. I have to go and sign in or something. I can't do that.
I've got it
in reserve.
And apparently Lessons in Chemistry is on Apple TV. We've just had that confirmed by Daisy, who knows these things.
These sorts of things.
Somebody wrote into us and said it's really good, but I saw a clip and I thought, oh, that looks shit.
Not sure. I think the trouble is, I mean, we both read the book and I think both enjoyed the book, but
only up to a certain point. Both of us, neither of us loved it.
No, and also you've got that sort of super clever speaking dog, or a dog that understands words called 6:30. I'm just not sure about that. I don't think I can suspend my disbelief to that extent. I'm sorry.
I would be worried about what they did with the dog character in this. I don't know. It just, to me, I looked at this clip and I thought, that is schmaltzy. It's schmaltzy. And I don't think, I'm not sure I can be doing with schmaltzy. What about books?
I've been reading, and in fact I've nearly finished, I think, the new Grace Dent, The Comfort Eating book, which is beautiful and insightful and honest and sort of, I mean, it's very Grace Dent-ish. And
Are you listening or reading?
Oh, listening, yes.
Oh, well, I'm going to get that.
So there's a whole chapter about butter, there's a whole chapter about bread. Not great for my diet, but, you know, there you are. But there's some beautiful, beautiful sections where she talks, for instance, about the importance of sort of buttered toast to her and her mother. That was kind of, you know, before when she came back home from school, that's what she'd have with her mum, and so she talks about her mum dying and her spending a lot of time in the hospice with her, watching Homes Under the Hammer, eating a lot of sort of toasted bread, buttered toast with jam, and that being kind of you know, just a wonderful thing, a taste of sort of the last bit of normality, but of course it wasn't normality. I mean, she just describes it beautifully and much better than I just did, but
I think she's
powerful.
A really good writer, and I think she's a force for good, and I am looking forward to downloading that on Audible.
Yeah.
We've still got, I've just finished Miriam's book because, as I keep saying, I'm interviewing her.
Yes, yeah.
And
better
we've...
read the book.
We've got, can you imagine if you didn't bother? The bee sting, it's become like a lodger, this book. It lives with us. It's 27 hours long or something. We have not got through it because I'm always away. And then by the time I get home, I say, can we go back a couple of chapters? Because I just want reminding. So we're about halfway through, I think. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. But it's still really good and I am enjoying it. Okay. So on to letters, and last week we mentioned budgies, and we got a lovely little email from Ali, 57 and a half, and she said that many of her oldie customers have budgies, and a couple of them disclosed their claim to fame that they had bought their birds from Jeff Capes.
Jeff Capes, now, wait a minute.
Ex-Britain's Strongest Man.
Oh, that's right. Did he
Do you remember?
Pull tractors along and things?
Yes, he did. There was rage for that at one point.
There was.
I had no idea, she says. One showed me a newspaper clipping of Jeff, huge, cradling a teeny budgie, oozing gentle giant vibes.
Oh,
you'd like that.
Another
customer
was
into canaries, but he had a cooler claim to fame as he was Tom Courtney's cousin. These are the kind of emails we want.
She got all the gossip, didn't she, there?
She really
all the gossip.
Did. Thank you for that, Ali.
Yes, and then we got another very useful email from Sue Phelps, brackets the wrong side of 70, she says.
Yeah.
And she says, I was interested in your autumn shopping spree, Judith. Are the trousers you got from Robelt? Well, yes, they are, I've checked. And she said that she has a number of pairs and they fit very well, they do. But, she says, but be careful of the velvet type trousers, because she bought a pair of very dark blue ones that were almost damask, and she wore them on New Year's Eve and merrily sat on four of my friend's white leather chairs at a party, and the dye came off on each, not just one, each of them.
Oh, and then she goes on to say, even after professionally cleaning, the stains didn't really come out. I felt awful. Now, there is a small disclaimer in the back of the trousers, which she read after the event. And she's since washed them. But do you know what? This is what you got to do. She takes a napkin out with her to sit on because she doesn't trust them. She doesn't trust her own trousers.
I think that's quite a sort of counter indication, isn't it, really? I think if you've got to do that with a pair of trousers...
Would have to be very good.
I haven't got a pair
of trousers in my life. I don't think that are worth carrying a napkin around with me. Oh,
no,
I don't know. No, I have. I've got my show trousers, my Coz show trousers. Uh-huh. I would carry a napkin around if they were stainers. Uh-huh. Yes. But I think that is like a level of loving a pair of trousers. Are you prepared to carry a napkin around with you? Or never, ever sit down whilst you're wearing.
Or never sit down. Don't know
never
which is
sit
worse.
Down. There isn't a pair of trousers in the world, is there? Anyway... Listen, you, where are you going for your lunch? Are you having lunch in?
Lunch in, and then I'm doing an art class later on for the three of us. Yes, I am. I'm doing an art class. I've got the oils here, and I'm going, yes, we're all going to have a nice... Yeah, we've got...
Are you online art classing?
No, we're just doing it together. All three of us have taken the photographs of something that inspired us as we've been walking, and we're going to... I'm sort of the teacher, you know what I mean? I'm kind of...
Okay. Now then, Judith, when you say you took a photograph of something that inspired you while you were out and about in Cornwall, may I suggest that the photograph you may have taken would have been of one of the blokes getting out of the Land Rover in a hard hat?
Well, yes.
What did you actually take a photograph of?
Oh, well, there's lots of sorts of sea views, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously, lots of sea views.
I think that if your two Janes are novices, I think I would start with A Still Life on the Table.
Oh, would you?
Because I think the sea and the sand is really hard.
Well, yeah, I know what you mean. I
think that I'd have done Pebble, A Starfish. I'd have done Sixth Form A Level. My favourite thing, isn't it? I'd have just done my favourite thing. Listen, I'm now really jealous of that. I'm going to be on a train, and I could do some iPad art on the train. I did that.
I think
actually.
You should. But when do you finish your tour? You must be quite. Seventh
of November.
That's quite soon, isn't it? It's amazing.
6th or 7th of November. Yeah, and then it's going to be. I don't know what. I'll really, really miss it because I really love this tour. Yeah. So anyway,
it must be a bit of a letdown. It must be a bit like finishing an exam. There's sort of a bit of a relief. But
yeah, there's such a build up to it, and then you just go, "Oh, that's done then. Now, what do I do with all this stuff?"
Well, it's been going down very well. I'm sure you'll find things to do. Okay, well, look, good luck with Miriam.
Thank you.
I'm sorry that my story about the ferry didn't come up to scratch, but you know.
Well, it started
peaked
well,
early,
and then
didn't it
petered. It did peter. I think it's good that we know. And I still think it was worth it, though, because there was enough content to get to the juices.
There was some lubricious content.
Yeah, there was some lubricious content.
Which we know the gang is usually up for.
Okay, listen.
All right, then.
All the best. I hope you have a lovely time with your friends. And don't let them pick on you. Don't let them pick on you. Mind you, I think you're probably the ringleader and the bully, so don't pick on them.
I'll try not to.
And Daisy, enjoy the rest of your week, everybody. And I will look forward to speaking again next week.
Absolutely. Send us some emails, gang. Love to the gang.
Oh, yes, please do. Oh, no, stop, Judith.
Just
before we say, because we get more emails if we remind them of our email address.
Okay. olderwiderpod@gmail.com, please.
Absolutely
we like to know your names and your ages.
We do. And we'll have any pictures that you know. If there's anything you're up to that you feel like sharing, share, because we enjoy seeing your things.
Okay.
Oh, we petered out now. We've gone a bit like your ferry story.
Yes, we have. Come on.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Right, everybody. I'm going to go and have... Oh, no, it's not. It's not 1 o'clock yet. I can't have my lunch.
You can't have lunch. Well, I can. I can have lunch because you're not here.
I wish you wouldn't.
To stop me.
Well, I'm
sorry, I'm
If you just
to.
Like
I'm
to wait 13
I'm
minutes,
not going
Judy.
To wait 13
wait
minutes.
Wait 13 minutes.
I cannot wait
Let's have a little bit of self-restraint. Enjoy. I'll see you all soon. Lots and lots of love.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.